Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All right, here we go. It is a brand new Flyers Daily for the 18th of March, 2025. Flyers Daily, as always, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Flyers struggles continue as they go to Tampa to drop the puck on a five-game road trip and come away with a 2-0 shutout loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The only win in the seven-game homestand was the shootout win over the Lightning, but now the Flyers have been shut out in back-to-back games. 5-0 at home on Saturday against Carolina, and then 2-0 last night against the Lightning. Flyers with just 21 shots on goal, not nearly enough high-danger chances, not nearly enough traffic around Andrei Vasilevskiy. He did make some good saves in the game, made some big saves, and obviously he's one of the best goalies still in the league, headed to the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, without question. And they're unable to dent him in this one. And Flyers get dented for one, ultimately two, because of the empty net goal. Ivan Fedotov, the only goal for Tampa, comes in the first period on a 4-on-4 when Nikita Kucherov is able to poke a puck out of the feet of Travis Konecny, who's a right high point man on the 4-on-4, and goes the other way on the breakaway. He's able to outweight Fedotov and get Fedotov to sink a little too deep into his net, default to the butterfly, and he beats him high blocker. Turns out to be your game winner. It's Kucherov's 29th of the season. 1-0 Tampa after one, 1-0 Tampa after two, and then 18:30 of the third period, the empty net goal comes, assisted by Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point. It was Jake Guentzel picking up his 33rd of the season, 2-0 the final. Now, I think that most people that listen to Flyers Daily and watch Flyers Daily are pretty rational, and I think that we know that going into that game last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Flyers are inferior from a talent standpoint, from a roster standpoint, and they've had a lot of attrition to their NHL team this season. The trades of Frost and Farabee and Lawton and more have been certainly taken their toll and taken a lot of their juice away just from a balance standpoint of what you can throw at the opposition. And you know, you understand when you're facing a team like Tampa that they have more talent. There's no shame in admitting that. They're a team that is looking to push for another cup, made some moves at the deadline to do so. They're a team that's built with a superstar in Nikita Kucherov, great players in Braden Point. Hagel's got 31 goals, all even strength. You've got Victor Hedman back on that blue line. Ryan McDonough's a good leadership back there still, and obviously Vasilevskiy. So the one thing you look for in a game like the one last night is the team still playing hard? Are they still holding themselves accountable to a standard? And even in the Carolina game where they got the doors beat off them 5-0, I thought they played hard. They just got boat raced by a better team. And last night they couldn't generate enough on Vasilevskiy. And when you don't have depth up front, it is easier for the opposition to shut down guys like Travis Konecny, Matvei Michkov, Tyson Forster, Bobby Brink, and your offensive weapons. You key on those guys and go, okay, make Rodrigo Abels beat me, and Nick Delarier beat me, and Jacob Peltier beat me. I'll take my chances with that. So you can key on those guys to shut them down a lot easier when there's not something coming behind it. I thought the team played hard in the game. They out-hit Tampa, but that's a useless stat to me. It means nothing. They out-hit Tampa 41-19. Yeah, they had 41 hits. They had 41 hits because they were chasing Tampa, who had the puck most of the night. So that's more of an indicator of puck possession and not a category you want to lead in. But they played hard. And while I don't believe that for individual players, for example, if Bobby Brink or Tyson Forster or Owen Tippett or Travis Konecny, if they go on a heater down the stretch, that doesn't carry in the next season. It doesn't. That doesn't come with you through the summer and unpack itself when the season begins in September with training camp and next regular season in October. The one thing that does carry is a standard of play. And this team, while they're not mathematically eliminated, there's nobody in that room believes they're making the playoffs. This isn't Dumb and Dumber. You're telling me I got a chance. No. They know that they're playing out the string, and how they conduct themselves and the standard they hold themselves to as professionals can carry year to year and can carry weight for whatever additions are made in the offseason. And I believe there will be additions this offseason. So that is a good thing. It sucks losing back-to-back games, getting shut out. And I can't imagine as competitors what it's like for them playing out the string. It sucks. But it doesn't mean because it sucks, you can go out there and not play hard and not do your job. And we haven't seen that be the case. So that is a good thing. And that can carry year to year. Now, let's look at the Kucherov real quick in regards to Michkov. I think these two players are very similar. Not where they were drafted. Kucherov was drafted 58th overall in the second round back in 2011. Obviously, Michkov drafted by the Flyers much earlier in the first round, 7th overall. But the two players are similar, I think, in a couple of ways. One in how they play the game, the pace they play the game with. Neither player, to me, plays the game at a breakneck speed. It's more about quick twitch and short burst, small area, vision, creativity, skill. I think they're very similar in that regard. Now, when Nikita Kucherov came into the NHL, he first entered the league at 20 years old. Again, second round pick, 58th overall. In his first year, he ended up playing at 20 years old. That's what Michkov is now. He ended up playing 52 games. He had 18 points, 9 goals, and 9 assists in his first year in the NHL. By the way, his birthday is in June, so he had just turned 20. Michkov turned 20 a couple months into the season, so a little bit younger for his 20-year-old year. His second year, he played in all 82 games, and he was a 29-goal scorer in 82 games, 36 assists, and 65 points, and was a plus 38. Now, he also had good teams with him, too, there, too. He had players around him. He had some talent there. Steven Stamkos was obviously there. They had others. And then in his third year, his 22-year-old year, played in 77 games, and he had 66 points, 30 goals, 36 assists. It wasn't until his 23-year-old year where he really hit his stride. Now, look, 65-point season and a 66-point season at age 21 and 22 is pretty good. But in his 23-year-old year, 74 games played, 40 goals, 45 assists, 85 points. Now he's a point-per-game player. Next year, 80 games played, 39 and 61, 100 points. Next year, 82 games played, 41 goals, 87 assists, 128 points. Yeah, these are great teams he's playing on here too. 1920, 68 games. That was obviously the shortened season. 33 goals, 52 assists, 85 points, well over a point per game player. 47 games in the shortened season with the weird divisions. He had 69 points, 25 and 44. Next year, 82 games, 30 and 83, 113 points. Last year, 81 games, he had 44 goals, 100 assists. Kidding me? 144 points. That's his 30-year-old year. And then this year, 63 games played, 29 goals, 66 assists, 95 points. But it didn't happen right away. I see some chatter that, you know, Michkov's going to become a point-per-game player. If they do the right thing this summer and get him the right center, get him the 1C, then he'll be a point-per-game player next year. I don't know that. First of all, what is the 1C? Is the 1C a player that's an established 1C, like Nathan MacKinnon or Jack Eichel? Or a different, is he a drafted 1C? That's going to take some time. What is it? So I don't think we can loft these expectations. He could be a point-per-game player next year. That's not going to be my expectation. I'll be around the 65 to 70-point range, exactly where Kucherov was. I think he's a point-per-game player at 22, where Kucherov wasn't, but provided there's a team built around him properly. But I think the players are on a very similar trajectory. But I think it's important to realize that Kucherov, and we see what he is now, I mean, 100 assists last year. He said 128 and 144-point season, 113 and 100-point season. Since turning 23 through now 31, he has played in 577 games. He has 281 goals, 538 assists, 819 points. Very similar player. If Michkov can become that, you got yourself, that's a bona fide superstar. That's an elite player in the league. top five. That's what Kucherov is. I think Mishkov can become that, but it's going to take some time. So I bring that up for that reason. Let's get to a couple emails real quick. Bill, during the game, sent me an email. Matter of fact, an hour ago, he sent this at 8:42. How can the Flyers have a four-minute power play like they had in the second period and get zero shots on goal? Sure, it can be rhetorical, but man, way too many passing players. Is this a system thing or a player preference to pass over shooting? Now, you should never have a four-minute power play and not have a shot on goal. Totally agree, Bill. And with Bill yesterday, Bill Meltzer, I went off about the power play, and I'm just sick and tired of talking about it, but it rears its head again because it goes 0 for 5 in the game. I think it's 0 for 20 or 21 in their last 21. Worst stretch of the year. No signs of improvement. And so you should never have that. But as for just throwing pucks mindlessly to the net, that's not a good strategy on a power play. You have to move the puck. You have to get the goalie moving side to side. You have to prevent, you have to apply layered screens, rebound opportunities. You got to work it around and be, for lack of a better term, unpredictable on a power play. But still, on a four-minute power play, you can't come up with no shots on goal. They had a power play earlier in the game. I think they had five shots on goal. They didn't score. They had five shots on goal. Power play looked, that power play looked decent, but still, all said and done, I think it's so deflating when it goes out on a four-minute double minor and doesn't even give you a shot on goal. Just, to me, that tips advantage to the other team. Ian tweets in, says, checking in and then asked Billy. Said, I wanted to check in and say hello. First and foremost, hope you had as good a weekend as you could after your latest treatment. I also wanted to wish you a happy St. Paddy's Day. Yeah, hope everybody had a great St. Paddy's Day. I'll be celebrating watching the classic first Leprechaun movie a little later tonight. Oh, nice. I had a decent weekend. They tapered my treatment back a little bit for this last one because my platelet count was low, but we're getting through it. You can hear my voice is still a little weak because I'm still in recovery. He said, I'm currently watching the boys in Tampa, and I'm hoping they can pull off a big road win. They didn't. Well, he said, we're about to go on the power play. Let's get a goal. But I agree with what you and Bill said on today's podcast, on Monday's podcast. I'm sick of hearing and talking about how ineffective the power play is. Something has to give next season. It cannot continue to be so abysmal. And I agree. It can't be. This is enough is enough. This is bananas. He said, I'd have a question for you or a future ass Billy. After watching this weekend's game against the Hurricanes, I thought to myself and said that Carolina is a hard team to play against. They are. And they're hard to play against because they come at you in waves and they possess the puck so much in the game. He said, I know Danny Jonesy and Torts want to be a team that's hard to and tough to play against. Do you think that Carolina is an example, could be a similar example of how the Canes play to build a team that way? They are absolute puck hounds and control the puck so much. I feel like they capitalize on their opponent's mistakes due to the opposing team constantly chasing the puck. Just curious what you think. Enjoy your Monday night, and let's go Flyers. Yes, they're a team that I think you want certain traits of. You want to be a team that is relentless on the puck and controls the puck. But to me, Carolina, while being a very good regular season team, they wear teams down with the cumulative effect of what they throw at you and how often you're chasing the game, that it wears them down. But in the playoffs, I feel like they're missing something. Now, they tried to get it the last 2 years. They tried it with Gensel and tried to re-sign him, didn't re-sign him. He signed in Tampa. We saw him get the empty net goal last night. They tried getting that game-breaker player in Mikko Rantanen. He didn't want to sign in Carolina. They had to trade him to Dallas, and I think they still lack that. I think the Flyers will have that with Mishkov and maybe another player they trade for or draft or whatever it might be. So I think there's elements that you want to mimic with the Carolina Hurricanes, but I think you need a more dynamic game breaker than Aho at this point to go to that next step. They've got a couple conference finals, but they've just come up short. They just don't have that one piece. They tried to get it, but they can't get it to stay in Carolina for whatever reason. One more comes from Craig. He says, hi, Jason. Good to see you and Bill on the show on Monday. I think you two nailed the process ending this season and how to approach the offseason. Yeah, it's critical to make the correct decisions on some big issues, coaching, goaltending, 1C, 1D, and drafting. Hopefully, potential players such as Jacob Peltier and Andre get legitimate time. Also, I hope you had a decent weekend and are pushing through treatment. Stay strong, as I know you will. Thanks for that. Yeah, the areas that you addressed are all areas of huge consideration. Coaching is. John Tortorella is going into the final year of his contract next year. How are you moving forward? And again, it's not, I don't ever look at it when it comes to coaching and say, fire the coach, get the next guy. Well, if not him, who? I see all the people saying that the Flyers need to move on from Torts. Who should they hire? Don't tell me just that they should fire him. Tell me who they should hire. Give me that information. Who's available? Because you don't want to just fire the coach you have, hire a guy that's not the right guy because he's available, because the right guy's not available. To me, that's short-sighted. You make a move if you've got the right guy. Do they have the right guy? Is the right guy available? Will the right guy be available? Is that Mike Sullivan if he gets fired in Pittsburgh? Is that Jay Woodcroft, who coached in Edmonton? Who is it? Don't tell me to can him. Tell me who they're going to hire. Just saying fire the coach is Neanderthal. Tell me who they should hire, too, and why, and what that coach brings to the table that the existing one doesn't. All right, goaltending, huge question mark, massive question mark. If you're going to move forward next year, you cannot be undone by goaltending, and inferior goaltending will undo a team. It will eventually undo a team. It's a huge thing that has to be considered. 1C, we've talked about it ad nauseum, and we've talked about it ad nauseum for a reason, because it's that important. No doubt about it. How are you going about getting it? Is it obtained this offseason via the draft, trade, free agency, offer sheet? Is that something that has to be reserved for the next offseason when maybe Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel can become UFAs if they do? In a 1D and drafting. You nailed it all, Craig. These are all huge question marks going forward. The first part of the rebuild that we've gotten through, the evaluation and subtraction part, is almost the easy part. You can kind of see what's in front of you and make your decisions. Now the decisions are just as critical on what you add and how long you add them for and for how much money you add them for, because you don't get any do-overs when you sign a player to a contract or you draft a player. You can't go back and say, we should have drafted this guy at number 7 instead of this guy. You don't get that do-over. And there's no other GM in the league going to pick up the phone to do you a favor. That's not happening. Huge decisions lie ahead. All right, Flyers will be back Thursday when they take on the Washington Capitals. But we'll be back tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of Flyers Daily. Join us then.